It's Startup Nation on News Talk 760 WJR. Here's Jeff and Dan.
Okay, welcome back to Startup Nation Radio. Well, we've got all these leads now. Cheryl's helped us get these leads to be more qualified. We're moving down the funnel, and Dan, we're finally going to make some money. Now we get to some sales, right?
It's a long time coming. I need to make some money right now.
Okay, well, let's do just that. Let's bring on an expert. Who do we have, Dan?
Well, we've got Kirk Armstrong. He's one of the sales leaders at Jerry Weinberg & Associates, which is a leading sales training firm here in town. And we're really thankful that you're here today, Kirk. Kirk, why don't you start off as what are the most common mistakes that salespeople make today?
Thanks, Dan. You know, that's a great question, and we get asked that all the time. One of the things that people can start worrying about, perhaps, is talking too much. You get in front of a sales guy that wants to talk too much. What do you want to do?
Yeah, listening is a critical part of the process, isn't it? I mean, you got to understand the customer. Someone once said that the pain points and you want to understand what their needs are and what their pains are, right? You got to try to address those things.
Couldn't have said it better myself.
Yeah.
Okay, if we're going in there and just trying to sell people, I don't think that's what they want. Do you? I mean, people don't want to be sold, do they?
No.
No, they don't want to be sold. They want you to find out, and they may not even be aware of this, but they want you to find out some of the emotions, some of the pain that is behind some of the decisions they make.
That are the drivers.
For sure.
Yeah.
For sure. Because with lack of that, you know, you end up making a very intellectual
Well, if you can't see the target, you can't hit it, right?
Absolutely true.
So to see the target, you got to really listen to the customer's needs or wants, or as we said, pain points, whatever it may be, and then focus and hone your message like a rifle shot right at those things.
Absolutely. You know, we have heard it called the 30-second commercial, the elevator pitch, all of us. Critical. But if you do it wrong, I like to say it this way. Don't tell people what you do for a living. Tell them the types of people you can help. And therein lies some excellent information. When they reply to something like that, now we've got some questions we can ask about what they said.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Well, when salespeople are prospecting, what's the thing they hear all the time? Oh, I don't need anything. I'm fine. I'm good.
Yes.
What does the salesperson do at that point?
Well, I like to look at it this way. Not everybody is a prospect.
Right.
Okay.
Right, exactly. Somebody, you have to know where in that funnel you are.
You've got to know where you are in the funnel, and maybe you shouldn't even be in the funnel.
Right, exactly. right.
You know, people don't want to be sold. They want to buy, but not everybody is a prospect. I mean, not everyone's a good fit for me. I'm not a good fit for everybody, and I think if salespeople just looked at it that way, they wouldn't try to, quote-unquote, close everybody.
Yeah, Kirk, when you sit down and do some sales, what you know, whatever it may be that you're selling, or when you're coaching someone to do sales, mm-hmm. What's a reasonable close rate?
You know, that's a difficult question.
I know it is. It varies from, I know,
every
it does vary,
industry.
But I mean, let's set some parameters. I mean,
Well, let's look at it this way. How about I set it up this way? If you're getting 3 out of 10, you know, you'd call that a 30% close rate, right? I'm against that type. I don't care what profession you're in. I say to that, well, if you're getting 3 out of 10, that's great. Maybe you can get to 4 or 5. But why not work on, instead of working on 10 people to begin with, wouldn't it be better to get 3 out of 5? You know, get 3 out of 5. And then maybe, so you have to disqualify a lot of the people that maybe you shouldn't even be in front of.
Right. That gets to what Cheryl was telling us about on how to move that, you know, that lead to a qualified lead. And that's, you know, again, when you talk about close rate, it's one thing if you're still at the broadcast level and you're talking to a large audience and they don't even know what you're selling them yet. It's another thing if you've got a qualified lead who has responded. Let's say going back to Cheryl, you know, they've signed up for the newsletter. They've said I'm interested in some way. They've taken some action. They've qualified themselves as being interested in what it is you're going to talk to them about.
Mm-hmm.
That's got to kind of have a higher close rate, right?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure. So that's why if you think about it, we need to be talking a lot less so that we can listen. But furthermore, you know what it really comes down to, in my opinion, is asking better questions.
Yeah, the whole listening thing again, drawing the information out, right?
For sure. And so many people, when they get asked questions, salespeople are very guilty, I think we'd all agree, of trying to give the answer they want to hear rather than asking them questions about what they just told you and then exploring it a little deeper into that funnel and figuring out what's real and what's not real.
So what kind of questions, Kirk, are the right kind of questions to ask?
You know, one of my favorite questions isn't even a question. When you ask somebody a question and they have an answer, I want to simply say, tell me more. I mean, I like mm-hmm. to say that. I like to coach people to say that rather than coming up with these silver bullet questions. And then start narrowing. How long have you been doing it the old way? How well did that work? What did you like about it? What didn't you like about it? We've all heard these types of questions, but delivered at the wrong time and in the wrong manner, they don't come off very well.
Do you guys do sales for online companies as well, or are you mainly focused on, you know, situations where you're getting people together with people on a one-on-one sales situation?
Well, so here's what it involved. I mean, we do all sorts. I mean, we probably have over 200 different industries we've helped through the years. But to me, it's a critical component. If you can't get live, you have to at least be on the telephone. Mm-hmm. You know, these organizations and some of your listeners perhaps are emailing quotations to people, and I can't disagree with that more. I think it's a horrible way to figure out whether or not you're going to be picked. It's what we call the quote and hope business, which is not really productive.
Well, I mean, there's that whole thing about pressing the flesh, right? I mean, all these terms kind of came from the pressing the flesh, or you know, doing the proverbial lunch, right?
And, yes.
I mean, taking someone out, getting to know them, getting a chance to build that personal relationship. It's highly effective, isn't it? I mean, there's a good return on investment.
Well, and it's another level of commitment and another level of conversion when they actually will meet with you when you want to discuss your proposal. They'll actually sit down with you when you're going through it, as opposed to just emailing it off to them.
Oh, absolutely. And you know what? I'm all about control. If you're not in control of the process and you're giving away all your expertise, in fact, we call it unpaid consulting. You give away everything and then you hope for good results. And here's the prospect that's got all your answers. They can make a decision behind closed doors. And at that moment, what do we really have? I mean, we basically have educated those people with very little return for ourselves.
What do you do, or what do you recommend when you get that proverbial, no, that's I'm not interested? Are there some tricks? You know, I mean, to make no not really mean no, because once you're in front of someone, I mean, you know, you hate to move on to the next one until you really exhaust that lead, right?
Yeah, you hear as salespeople, some of your listeners have perhaps learned to be persistent or maybe even aggressive, and you know, I'm not a big proponent of that because
not aggressive, not bad, but God, assertive. I mean, if I've got someone at lunch. If I'm paying for that lunch, yeah. I want to walk away with a sale. I'm not going to take a no.
Well, you know, that's, you know, Dan and I spoke before the show today about, you know, next week doing the 30-second elevator pitch in the commercials. And I think we've got this little formula that we like to give out and that I like to teach people. It's called SW3N. Some will, some won't. So what? Next.
Yeah. Well, we've all been, that's great. I love that. Well, you know, we've all been told no. What I like to do when someone says no is ask why. Why? Understand. Again, that gets to that listening, right, Kirk?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, understand why they're saying no. Now you got a shot to get back in the game. Maybe you can address it. Maybe they didn't understand something.
Well, I would say that the second best answer you could get is no. Yes is best.
That's
no
true.
Is second
at least
best,
it's definitive.
But
yeah.
Maybe's the worst.
Couldn't
right,
agree,
Kirk?
Couldn't agree more. That's right on the spot.
Well, I love it. Great stuff, guys. Great stuff. I mean, thank you, Kirk. Thanks so much. Thanks to Cheryl Heppard. Thanks to Tom Shapiro. Dan, great doing
thank
the show
you,
with
Jeff.
You today.
Let's get out there and sell this week.
Let's sell. Hey, you got to sell if you're going to make your business dreams come true. Thanks for being with us on Startup Nation Radio today. Thanks to Walsh College for sponsoring. Join us next week, same time, same place. Let's make those dreams come true.